Holy, holy, holy. Man, I like that song. I could have stayed there for a while, worshiped. Man, just that, something about that. Just, you can get caught up. Can you guys think about what the throne room is like? Just getting into that, just giving him everything, surrendering to his holiness, to his majesty, his power. And he's present right here, right now. We see Christ Jesus and his sacrifice. And then my prayer today for us all is that we would give him everything that he paid for. He paid for your sin and your shame. And what I know is that we are carrying far too much of that shame around with us. And it's my desire to see us all give it to him. Get it out of us. He's already bought and paid for us. We're going to heaven. Give him the rest of it. It's the walk of the cross. And it's worship. In its purest form, it is worship. Where you can bow before him and give him. He's already paid for you. We're not our own anymore. We give ourselves to him. We get all the junk out. We have the ability to be open. We don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to run anymore. We get to get it all out. He takes it. And he fills us and he lifts us. That's what we want to do. Gosh, that's what God is doing. I know this. I've seen this in my spirit, a new day in this church, where this church rises up again and is powerful for Christ Jesus in this region. But our shame is in the way, guys. Our shame's in the way. We've got to deal with it. We got to get it out. We got to help each other with it, and I know that's what God's going to help us do. So today I'm kind of aiming at that again. I'm going all the way around the world to get there, but as I usually do, I struggle with that, so forgive me for saying too much, but I'm praying that the Spirit of God would speak in the ways that we need to hear it. So I wanted to start at the beginning again, because we're talking about what we were created to do, who we were created to be alongside God in a co-laboring relationship of union. And so we got to go to the beginning for that. Genesis 1:26, the verse that I'm looking at is, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And you guys that are, I'm supposed to come up with a sermon title that I just thought of. So you guys, you call it spirit versus soul. You could name it that. Spirit versus soul. And so we want to start here and look at this word image in Genesis 1:26, and I got some just really cool stuff this week that's, man, it got me just high as a kite on some of this stuff. So wonderful to see it. But the word image in Genesis 1:26 is a Hebrew word that is tselem, I guess is the way you say it. It's T-S-E-L-E-M. And it means illusion, shadow, a phantom, or resemblance, or a representative figure. And what God is saying here is that he made Adam very much like him in looks, in resemblance. And we know that's probably a big word, but one of the words there, the word illusion, I had a good understanding of that. In other words, when it's saying he was like an illusion, he was so much like God. And of course, he was, the Spirit of God was in him and with him, which that helped considerably. But he looked so much like God that it was like an illusion. You know, an illusion looks like something until you look at it a little bit closer and you're like, oh no, that's an illusion. Adam was like that. He looked just like God, except upon further examination, you find, oh no, that's not God, that's Adam. But he looked like him. Okay, and so I had the hang of that one, but I didn't really understand shadow. I was like, shadow? What does that mean? It's like, what is he, a little dark thing or something? That's not what it's talking about. And as I did some studying this week, a shadow, think about what a shadow is. It is a replica of the original, right? We don't look like shadows, but our shadow behaves exactly as we do, right? So if we jump, our shadow jumps. If we wave our hand, our shadow waves its hand. Unless you're Peter Pan, your shadow is going to be following you, you know? And that is the word image talking about Adam. So just picture this. Him and God were in such communion and connectedness that it was as if God is, as he moves, Adam is in union with him. He's moving with him on the earth. He's just his shadow, his representative. As God moves, Adam is moving. So see, Adam's not doing this on his own. Adam is with the Lord in a co-laboring relationship, seeing what he's doing and following him in what he's doing. It said they would hang out in the cool of the day, which that phrase just means the breeze would blow. And breath is that ruach in the Hebrew. That's the breath of God. The breath of God would show up and fill him and lift him. And that being in that resemblance, that representative role, God created him to be so much like him, to represent him on the earth and to do the job that he's called him to do. It's just a phenomenal thing. So we're created in the image of God. We're image bearers to God. I want us to understand what a big deal that is. This original glory that God had for us. Because it's still present. It's still here. It's still the template. It's still the foundation for which we are as humans. It's still what God wants. Even though it was lost, it's being restored. And we need to make sure we're understanding that. So we have our faith and our heart and our mind set on that and our understanding where we're walking, where we're going, and what we're here to do. So we got the creation mandate, which is the rest of Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Being fruitful and multiplying, fill the earth, subduing it, ruling over the animals. The word dominion is radah in the Hebrew. It's to dominate or subjugate or trample down. Now, what that tells you is that there was something to subjugate or trample down. There was something to overcome out there. So that's written into that original creation mandate. He didn't spell it out in Scripture anyway that there are, you know, evil beings, fallen angels. There's all a whole host of things out there that we don't fully understand or we know about, but they're out there, and they're out there right now. I don't know what you guys think about, you know, all the UFO sightings and whatnot, but I'll tell you my two cents on it. I think these are fallen angels that have been here the whole time. They've always been here. They're not from another planet. This is the one they're after, because this is where it's all centered. I mean, just think about it. I mean, I think it's getting pretty well documented, these things that they're seeing. They're breaking the laws of physics. They're supernatural things, whatever you want to call them. And they're present. They're just here. They always have been. Every civilization in history has recorded contact with these types of things. And the Bible really is clear about this, guys. Really clear. There are fallen angels, there are beings that are greater than we are in terms of the freedom of being spiritual and not being bound to the laws of physics like we are. That's how they're greater. And they're manipulating us. They're manipulating things. They're behind the scenes doing things. Now, what I was talking about last week is they're running out of space. They're getting shaky. They're having to do things they'd rather not do. Because again, the heavens and the earth are shaking. We're moving into the period of time where God is going to reclaim all things. Jesus came and he laid the axe to the tree and it's finished. He finished the work. Now that thing is going to be completely removed and God's going to start all over again. I don't know how he's going to do all that. I'm not smart enough to understand it or know it. I just know he's going to because he said he would. So this is what we're up against, guys. Adam has been given this mandate to take basically what the boundaries of the garden are and spread it to the rest of the world. That's one way of thinking about it. But in doing so, he's got to walk with God as God's shadow. Listen, you got nothing to worry about if you're God's shadow, right? There's nothing that can touch you, or God's got you. And so Adam just has to stay in alignment, follow in obedience. As the Lord moves, he moves. And that's what he was called to do, but he wasn't able to fulfill it, as we know. But as long as man has union with God, man, the breath of God is in him. So it's as if we're just dancing with God. You know, that shadow metaphor is, it's almost like, you know, you're in this dance. God is in the lead, and we're learning his moves. We're learning how he's moving, how he's working, how he's doing what he's doing. But that's the relationship. He wants us to be close and wants us to know his ways, and he wants us to be like him, and he wants us to understand. He wants sons and daughters who know him. But we all know this, man failed. Now, I'm trying to set the stage for some things here, so I'm going to jump from, set this aside and begin to jump from one thing to the next. But as Adam, when Adam failed, okay, this disconnection, it's as if he, like an inflatable, just deflated, just the spirit of life leaves. The lights just get shut out, and all of a sudden, darkness and fear descend. That's what we're caught in. That's what everything turned on him right there. And the enemy begins to just take over this failed stewardship. He takes over this planet as the spirit is removed. Now, let me get into the makeup of man real quick. Okay, because this is something that we're talking about between soul and spirit. God is spirit. Okay? God is spirit. That's what it says in Scripture many times over. Now, God creates us to be like him, and so he makes us, he gives us a spirit as well to communicate. So we have that ability to communicate. God's a spirit. We have a spirit, so he can communicate with us. And that's the part of us that God is created us to communicate with, is that spirit portion. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 tells us this. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Okay, what's entirely? And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what this verse is trying to say here is that you human beings are made spirit, soul, and body, and God wants all of it. He wants it all restored. He wants to indwell us in the same way. He wants all of your faculties, all of your giftings, all that you have, all of your memories, everything to be his, so he can walk with you in life. So spirit, soul, and body. Let me briefly explain that just to kind of set the stage here. So your body is just your earth suit. You know, like we go to the moon, and when they go to the moon, they have on these space suits, because it works in the environment. This body is just an earth suit, okay, that your soul and your spirit utilize to connect to the planet. You got five senses, you know, we see and we taste and we touch and we feel. You have those senses. Those are sensual or carnal, okay? So you got that connection through the body. That's just the body, the earth suit, okay? Then you've got the spirit portion of who we are. The spirit is the pneuma, the human spirit. It's the same in the Bible. If you're in the Old Testament, it's the Ruach. If you're in the New Testament, it's the Pneuma. It's the breath of God. The human spirit is the same thing. It's like a chip off the old block. God just takes a little chip off the old block, and he builds a little human around it, and spirit's in there. Okay? Now, God is a spirit, but he moves. The Bible kind of talks about the spirit as a river that's moving. That's just a metaphor. He's not a river. He's a person, but he moves, is the idea. He's life-giving and all the time, always moving. He's a current of life. So when we first were connected to him, that river of God's life was always moving, and it was like a breeze. Like it said, in the cool of the day, it's always blowing over man. It's always with us and coming through us. And that's the part of us that it connected with, spirit. Okay? So when our human spirit connected with God's spirit, man, we're in union. We're in connection. It's God's wisdom and power that we have flowing through us. That's the idea. That's what we're wanting. But we have a spirit portion because God made us to communicate with Him. Okay? Now, the spirit is the one that's most difficult for us to understand and get tuned into. Okay? But that is the very, we're divine beings. We were created to be that way. That's the original package, is that you and I functioned spiritually, primarily. Now, the soul has a role, and I'm going to get into that next. So the soul, this is the part of you that's become the problem, okay? Our soul is where all the hang-ups are, all the pain, all the memory of pain, all the things that we haven't worked through or figured out or understood, all the brokenness, all the strongholds. Strongholds are just thinking patterns that we're caught in. We believe this about ourselves, and it just runs like this. It's what we think. It's what we believe. Those are strongholds. All our weaknesses are in the soul. The Greek word in the New Testament for soul is psuche. And you can hear in that word psyche, right? That's what we use in our terminology, psychology, psuche. Okay, so that's made up. The psuche, or the soul, is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotion. So you got the mind is the intellect, the will is your volition, your action, your emotions are your feelings. That's what the soul is made up of. Okay, so the mind or the intellect, it reasons, it thinks, it forms logic, it processes, it stores information. Okay, powerful part of us. Our emotions give us feelings such as joy or sadness. And you guys know how powerful feelings are. Oh my goodness, we're so wired into that, tapped into that. And then you've got the will. So based on what we've put in our minds and our emotions, this makes our decisions. The will decides our course of actions according to what we've got stored up in our minds. Now, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 would say that this is our own understanding. Okay, according to what we've been through, what's happened, and what we think about all things considered, that is what our will is using in making decisions, how we feel about things. And we all have that. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is talking about trust in the Lord. Don't trust in your own understanding. You got to trust in the Lord. You can't trust in your own feelings. You can't trust in, I don't know about you guys, but I found out my feelings just cannot be trusted. Man, when I run with them, I lose. But when I get stuck and I look at the truth of God's word and I let a feeling just take off, it'll go away and the truth will come up and I'll be like, whew. You just can't follow it. So this is what we're used to, though. We're used to following the soul. We are soulish people, and that has become our problem, okay? So I'm wanting to lay the groundwork for that, to try to talk about how can we work through this. So let's talk a little bit more about the soul. In essence, the soul is the processing mechanism, the computer mainframe, the translator. It is important to realize that the soul is not the part of us that God intended to connect or communicate with directly. It is not. That's not what we were originally created to communicate with God through. Okay? So, God makes us a living soul in Genesis 2:7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." That word being there is literally soul, a living soul. Okay? So we're a unique creature that God created, but the life that's there is from the breath of God. Now, what's the breath of God? It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God bringing the soul to life. The Spirit is in the lead. It's the power portion. It's God through us and in us. It's the likeness there that we have with Him. And the soul has a job, but it's to be following the Spirit's lead. Okay? So just to add to this, the Bible talks all about the heart of man, all the way through Scripture, that God wants our hearts. He's after our hearts. And if you study that out, or as far as the study that I've done in Scripture over the two, the soul and the spirit have a little spot where they overlap. And right in there in that overlap is what the heart is. That's where they meet. That's where they're together, because we're going to be a living soul the rest of our eternity. Okay? So what we got to do, now here's another point. When you get born again, your spirit gets born again immediately. But not all your soul does. Have y'all ever noticed that? Like, we get born again and, man, there's still quite a few problems in there that we're facing. That's in your soul, right? Now, that's what sanctification is learning how to surrender those things over into God's love and grace and mercy for healing, so it can rest and the spirit can lead and the soul's not wanting that control, not forcing that control, not needing to be in control, because we're trusting in the Lord and we're following God's spirit, and then the soul can be used for what it was meant to be used for. Because it's a beautiful thing. Your soul's got your personality in it. That's your uniqueness. That's that fingerprint of God, the beautiful uniquenesses that all of us have, as we all have different personalities and beautiful. People are beautiful. They can be so beautiful, can't they? Those things we love about people, they're imprinted on there. So it's the soul's not bad. It just can't lead. It can't be in the leadership role. And so that's what we're trying to do, is get to the point where, God, you lead. I want to be a spirit-controlled being instead of a soul-controlled being. So that's Paul's talking about that all through the Scriptures. Being a carnal Christian, a carnal or a sensual Christian, is someone that's living through the soul by the senses and what they think and feel. They're just animalistic. You know, we can act like animals. That's not what he had in mind. He wants us to be filled with God's Spirit in such a way that we live as divine beings. We live as Christ would live. That's what he came to show us the way. So I'm laying the groundwork here to get to some of these other things. So Adam and Eve in the garden. let me make this point. The enemy addresses their soul. When he comes into the garden to deceive, he speaks to their soul. Okay, that's different than what God did. He created them to minister to and to speak with, to communicate spiritually. The enemy comes in and begins to speak to their mind and gives them a new thought to think they've never had before. Gets that logic up and running. Huh, hadn't thought of that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He interjected something into their own mind, into that reasoning capacity, into that logical powerhouse that we have that's been created into us, and he started making an interchange with it and bringing new information in that God had not said. In fact, getting them to question it. And it worked. So this is the point. The enemy will attack the mind, the will, and the emotions. He's still doing that with us. He attacks it directly. And we have to have understanding about this. So, of course, we know Adam and Eve fell. The fall was the Spirit of God departing and the soul of man ascending into its place. Okay? So God's Spirit leaves. We didn't lose a spirit. Our spirit just kind of fell. It just kind of fell. It lost its direction. Lost its guide. In its place, the soul of man came up into the leadership role in humanity. And man began to live and make his decisions according to what he thought was right. His way. Of course, we know that's the problem with humanity. We became soul-controlled. Okay? Now, the other problem that's going on simultaneously, that Satan has taken over the planet and he's putting his people in high places all around the globe. He's setting up this ability to continue to ping off of man's soul to manipulate them, to do what he wants them to do. And it wasn't long before God looked down and said, oh my gosh, Look at what I've made. Look at what it's become. Because the enemy's pinging off the soul of man and turning them into evil, producing evil. It's not what God had in mind. The enemy is the master of puppets. He is a master manipulator, guys, and he will manipulate you and me completely, and he has. He has and he is. And we got to wake up to that. We got to wake up to what the enemy is doing to you, to us and doing to one another. Because you can give someone grace when you know there's an enemy involved working on their pain, the same as he's working on your pain. See, that's where we can begin to be helpful to one another and understanding. Gosh, I know what it's like. Let's find the way. Let's find the truth together. I want to be free. You want to be free. Let's do this thing. Jesus has come to set us free. Of course, we know Ephesians 6:10. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Oh my goodness, and has he wounded us? Oh, he wounds so powerfully. Every single person in this room, you have been wounded by the enemy badly. He knew exactly where to strike. He knew exactly what to do. And you've still got that wound, and he's working off of that wound to this day. Unless you begin to go through the process, truly, he's just going to use it for the rest of your days. And many people, I'm telling you, many Christians, they just resign themselves to it. Man, I'm just going to be this way. Oh, my marriage is just going to be this way because he's just that way and I'm just this way. And I just forget it. We'll just resign ourselves. We'll go to church for the rest of our lives, but not entering into life, not actually taking the ground back from the wound that was given. See, those are the things that bother me the most because Jesus paid for those things. It's what he paid for. Yes, you could go to heaven one day, but he's not going to be glorified here when most of your soul is taken over by some wound and manipulated whenever the enemy wants it to be manipulated. You're not going to have the glory of God in you. You're not going to shine forth for him. And we need the power today, guys. We need the presence of God in us today for what we're up against. So the enemy continues to speak into our souls. Even today, he doesn't have to change because it works. He just keeps doing what he's doing. He's speaking into that soul. His attack is upon our soul. He's wounded us all in our soul, and it works, and he just keeps on pressing his agenda. And here's the problem, guys. There's so many principles involved in it. Once you get into pain and you get disoriented, it's so easy to make another mistake, isn't it? And then he gets to pounce on that one, and then it's so much easier to make another mistake. We just wander off into darkness. I mean, we run into people all the time that just have been dogpiled by the enemy. They're just completely under it. There's so much pain and misery and suffering they've been through. It's all in the soul. But God, okay, this is where I'm going to turn the tables here. But God, Jesus Christ has come. And this is what we've got to give him. This is what excites me because of what Christ Jesus has done. We don't have to live that way. We can get through this. There is a new life for each one of you. I don't care how old you are. It does not matter. There's a new life for you here today, taking these steps. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. See, that's that living soul. But the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ, he became a life-giving spirit. He became that because he's ready to give that to you and me. We don't have to be stuck in just being a living soul. We can now become a life-giving spirit also because he came and paid for that for us to have. Now, if you jump on back down to verse 49, and it says, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Now, that word "image" is "ikona" in the Greek, and it means mirror-like representation. So, what he's saying here is that Jesus has offered us a mirror-like representation. representation of the heavenly man, Jesus himself. That's what he's offered us. So we got to open up our eyes to the possibilities here. Now think about this, guys, because I was reading this and I recognized as I was thinking through it, Jesus came to the earth as the shadow of the Father. See, he just came as the original all over again. He came to show us what God originally intended. And so he came to the earth as the Father's shadow. Literally. They are one. They are connected. Isn't that what he said? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's that image, mirror-like representation. Jesus, or God, came as a human representing us all for a big do-over. Let's just do this whole thing over again. And here, this is what I'm going to offer you people. Hebrews 1:3 says this about Jesus. It says, "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature." See, he's the shadow. He's showing us the Father perfectly. As the Father moved, so Jesus moved. Isn't that what John 5:19 said? Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." That's the shadow of the Father. He's walking across this planet showing us what we can do, who we can be. That he's modeling it for you and me. Guys, get your eyes open. Open up your heart to this. Because if you've been born again, you have a resident genius in you. If you don't think you're smart, great. Just surrender to the resident genius. Let him become your brains. Let him become your way. This is available now. Now, what's in the way? A bunch of shame and a bunch of sin patterns we can't figure out how to get out of. There is an exchange, guys, but this is available, the Father's shadow. Now look, y'all remember that talk I did a while back about the rabbis and true discipleship and the Jews following and following in the dust? That's what Jesus did. He just was following the Father with his rabbi, and he just was following everything that he did. He was modeling for us what's available, what Jesus, what God is bringing back to the planet. That's what he's modeling. I think it's interesting that in the wilderness, you know, Jesus had to go through the wilderness in that temptation. The Spirit's the one that led him in there. What part of his being do you think Satan talked to? He tried it again. Oh, I'll just get them again with this. Start dialing in all their desires and all their wants. And Jesus, what did he do? He just spoke the word. He knew the truth. He was shadowing the truth. Man, that's a beautiful thing. Now, could we do that? Probably not. But Jesus did it already, so we get to be found in him. See, that's the beauty of it. If we'll just admit it, our need is desperate. We are powerless without you, Lord. I bring you my weakness, not my strength. I bring you my weakness. Fill me. I confess this. I get it out into the light. The flow comes. The life comes. A new life arises in each one of us. We can do this. Was reading Psalm 91, finally made sense to me on a whole other level this week as I found this out. Let me, I didn't mark it in my Bible. Let me read it to you. Psalm 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide," where? "Under the shadow of the Almighty." That's our original creation. God's shadow. Being God's shadow, walking with him, knowing him. Jesus never allowed his soul to lead his life. That's why he was sinless. Never allowed his soul to lead. His spirit is what he was in and followed, and that's as a model for us. It's possible for us, maybe not perfectly, but to an incredibly great degree. He was the shadow. The Spirit of the Father moved, and the Spirit of the Son moved, and the soul followed. Spirit-led following the Father. See, the soul just trusted and followed. So in the garden, we see this, you know, because Jesus had a soul. So when Jesus saw the cross coming, what do you think his soul was saying? The same thing yours would say. Oh, gosh, no. But we know what he did with that pain. We know what he did with that. He shouldered it, and he ended up saying, not my will, but thine be done. See, I'm trusting you. I'm not going. Now, Jesus' soul, in its understanding, was like, hey, this is going to hurt a little bit. Like, this is going to be really, really painful. Like, this is going to be embarrassing. It's going to be really shameful to be hung up in front of the world naked and die this way. Don't you think Jesus' soul was saying that? But he overrode it because the Father was saying, Son, trust me. Do it for me and do it for the world. Trust me. So he follows the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Jesus took his soul to the cross, guys. That's what he took to the cross, his soul. He yielded it to the Father, and he took it to the cross. Let me read you something here. John 12:23 says this. This is Jesus. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. Do y'all know what that word life is in the Greek? Soul. He who loves his soul will lose it. He who hates his soul in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus took his soul to the cross. And what he's saying to you and I is that we have to do the same. We don't have to go get nailed on a cross, but we do have to go to that place of death to self, where we expose our sin and shame. And I guess if I had to choose, I had told you about my story last night. I had told you what I had to confess to people. I'd much rather do that than be nailed to a cross, but it still hurt quite a bit. I didn't want to go there. Can y'all see how this works? We have to go there. You don't have to get nailed to a cross, but you do have to go to that place you don't want to go to and confess it. And that's not just to God, because it's easy for me to confess to God. I've been doing it all my life. I love talking to him. He's easy. God loves me. Thank you, God. Here, let me tell you this horrible thing I did. And he says, okay, now go tell so-and-so. I'm like, hold on, God. Now, I'm confessing. No, we got to go the place you don't want to go. Guys, I didn't write the New Testament. I'm just telling you what it says. This is what has to be done. And this is what we're not doing in the New Testament church anymore. We have conveniently left it out. And said, well, they'll say this, or they'll say that. Well, it doesn't say anything about that. It says you do this. I mean, choose appropriately, choose with wisdom, but do it. Take your soul to the cross. You know what doesn't want to get shamed is your ego and your pride. I've got one. Believe me, I'm no different than you are. But that's what has to die on the cross, is that pride and that ego, right? Is this not right? I'm telling you guys the truth, and it works. It's powerful. It will kill off the old you, and it will raise up a new you, because the Spirit of God starts flowing in your life. Let me get on down here. If anyone serves me, he goes on to say, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now he goes on to say in verse 27, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this is the purpose that I came to this hour. He's taking his soul to the cross. His soul's troubled. don't want to do that. But he became that lamb, that sacrificial lamb, metaphorically. They would take that lamb, they really did this, and they would cut its throat. It's an awful thing. I can't even think about doing it. It would bleed and be sacrificed. Jesus sacrificed for you guys. He sacrificed so you could give this stuff away, so you could get it out of you. We're broken. We're broken. Well, I understand. That's why when people tell me things they've done, I'm like, of course you did that. You're broken. I get it. I understand. That's not who you are, though. You are more than that. You are greater than that, because I know the one who's greater than you and I, who did that for us. So I get to take your sin, and I get to take it where it's supposed to go, to the grave. We nail it to that cross and it goes to the grave. I don't know that part of you. I'm calling forth the life of Christ in you. Man, it's a beautiful thing, guys. Why don't we want to do this? Why aren't we rushing to this? Why aren't we helping one another do this? I don't understand it. It's such a beautiful thing that Jesus did, and we get to replicate it in how we relate to one another. That someone gives you their shame and you send it where it's supposed to go and you call forth the true person forward. Because you're speaking for God at that moment. Man, it's beautiful. I want to see more of it. I've got to see more of it. God has to see more of it. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Galatians 2:20 says, for I've been crucified and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me, for me. So think about this, guys. Going to the cross. How do you think that feels, going to the cross? It doesn't feel good. I think it's in Psalm 23. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it feels like death. I don't know if y'all ever confessed something you didn't want to confess, but it feels like death. It feels like going to a cross. How often are you doing that? That's the question. How often? I just did it this morning twice. Two different people. Didn't want to do it either time. But I thought, if I'm going to stand up here and say this, Paul, you better get your ducks in a row, son. You better be doing what you're saying to do. You better be doing the word. If you're going to suggest somebody else do something hard, you better be doing something hard. So I'm standing up here with some integrity today, calling you, my brothers and sisters, to the cross to begin to practice this so that life can begin to flood into this place. Christ needs to be glorified. Vulnerability, it feels like death, but that's the cross. I was reading James 5:16 this morning and something brand new came up to me. Because James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses, your sins, your weaknesses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it goes on, though. It goes on to say, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then it goes on to talk about one of those guys. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And he goes on to say, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back. In other words, there's confession there and there's prayer that's powerful that changes it. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. This is the process he's talking about. Are your prayers setting someone free? Are your prayers setting a soul free from hell? Because I don't think this is talking just about a one-time salvation. This is a process of life. It's a lifestyle of hearing someone's weakness, hearing their confession, hearing their shame, and then knowing how to pray directly into it to see them set free. Is that not what it's saying? That's exactly what it's saying. And so when I confessed this morning to Johnny, Johnny prayed for me, and Johnny was saving my soul. So thank you for that, brother. I love you for that. And I wish for every person in this room that you have a Johnny. And there's many more like him that I've turned to. But that is the New Testament, folks. There is not another one. There's not another book. This is it. This is all we got. We learn to follow it, period. That's it. It's a beautiful thing, guys. I'm telling you, when this breaks and we learn how to do this, we learn how to glorify the Savior by receiving someone else's sin and shame and praying into them life. Nailing their sin to the cross, nailing their shame to the cross, and calling forth resurrection power to replace it. That is the New Testament. And man, that's a beautiful thing. Now let me tell you something real quick. I know I'm late again, but I want to be clear about this. I told you my story last week. I'm not going to retell it, but I'm going to tell you. I knew I had a problem, but I didn't want to do what the Bible said to do, which was confess it. I tell you what I did want to do, though. I was willing to read a lot of the Bible. I was willing to pray a lot. I was willing to serve the Lord. I was willing to go to church, listen to all kinds of sermons. I did it and did it and did it and did it. That's called religion. That's what that is. Religion. If you're not obeying Him. See, and that's what God's saying. Look, I get it, guys. You're sacrificing all these bulls and all these other things. You're sacrificing, great. But what I'd really like is for you to trust me and obey me. I'm telling you guys, all the sacrifice in the world is not going to help you. It's not going to help your heart. It's not going to make it feel better. It's not going to make you whole. You might learn a bunch of stuff, but that might make you worse. That's what a Pharisee is. But if you'll be humble of heart and contrite of spirit and gentle with other people who are suffering and develop a loving relationship with them so they can unload their story and tell you their pain and have a place to cry on a shoulder and then tell them the truth about what Jesus did with that sin and shame. Man, that's powerful. That's what obedience is. So to recap real quick, guys, we're powerless. And we're always going to be. You're always going to be sinning and making mistakes. You're going to have new things you got to confess the next day. You got to have these relationships of life that you got going here. And then you want to have people that know how to pray into your sin and shame so you can be set free. It's from glory to glory to glory to glory. Isn't that what the Bible says? From glory to glory. You're supposed to be growing up in this, all of us. So we're powerless, but we confess it. We trust and we confess. That is what it is to take it to the cross. You're taking it to the cross. You receive God's Spirit and Word, and you walk in the shadow of the Father in Christ. That's what you do. Now, where we stand today, guys, is the pressure is coming. Last week, I talked about the shaking. The shaking is here. The shaking is going to intensify. You're not going to be able to stand in the shaking. The soul cannot stand the shaking. It's got to get under the shadow of the Almighty. It has to. We've got to learn how to get all of us under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's the opportunity here today. That's the blessing of God that's on us. And I know this is going to happen because God is good, He's faithful, and He's ready to use His people once again as we find His truth. So Joey, as your team comes up, we're going to open up the altar here. I just want you guys, this is between the spirit and the soul. And what I want to ask you guys as an altar call, you don't have to come up here, but But it would be good if some of you would represent that you just are ready. Say, I don't even know exactly how to do this, but God, I want to know you in spirit, and I want to surrender my soul to you. I want to understand the difference, as Hebrews 4:12 talks about, that your word separates soul from spirit. I want to understand that, and I want to walk in the spirit with you. God, do this work in me. That is the altar call for some of you, that if you'd come up here and just lay it down. You don't have to pray to me. Just make it a moment where you're just saying, God, awaken me to this. Awaken me. Open the eyes of my heart to see this and to know how to walk as a spirit-controlled being. Lord, how to lay down my soul, how to get into alignment. God, do this in me. I'm crying out to you guys to cry out to God for that, because that's what we've got to have here. We've got to have it. So if you come up here, wherever you want to go, you can do it at your seat. But just make this a real plea that God would do this in me and in others. And I want to be one of those that prays for people and that sees their soul saved because they've confessed to me and I'm doing what the Scripture says. I'm walking on that path. So if everybody would just stand, The other invitation is, do you know Christ Jesus? He died for you. He paid for it all. He loves you. He knows everything about you. He loves you. He wants to know you. And we'd love to have you come and know him in that way. We'd love to have you come up here and just surrender your soul. And anyone can pray for you. If you need prayer today, if you'd like to join this church, we are a Bible-believing church that the Spirit of God is upon. Please come. Please come.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest on his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I proved him more and more. Just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more.
Amen. Y'all feel the Spirit of the Lord here? Hey, sometimes it takes some time. Just let Him work on you. Just agree with Him. God, help me. Draw me closer. Help me understand. Help me to see. He will do that. He'll get us to this point as a body. He'll bring us there. Man, I so look forward to that, to a body of believers who know how to walk with Him in restoring the earth. It's such a powerful, beautiful thing. And you guys, we're all going to be a part of it. So bless you. We need to make any announcements or anything? Wednesday business meeting? Yeah, we'll have a business meeting Wednesday night. We'll this Wednesday. So you guys can know that. And let the Spirit of God fill you and lead you in that. Okay? And all that's going on here. God wants to do amazing things at this place. I just know that. And we have been prepared for it. I've taken enough beatings. I'm ready to beat the enemy for a change. So join me in that. Let's beat the enemy for a change, okay? So bless you guys. Joey's going to be speaking tonight, right, Joey? Yep. So you guys come back tonight. We've got children and Awana and all those things going on. But you guys are blessed. Just go enjoy the afternoon. We love you, and we'll see you tonight. Bye-bye.